Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Loki, episode 3, Lamentis. All that and more after that. Matt'll fix it in post. It's fine.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our producer chair, we have the lovely Ashley Coffin. How you doing, Ash?
I'm amazing. How are you guys?
I'm doing good now. Happy to be here and talk about some Marvel.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Happy to get out of whatever the hell else I had going on.
You just don't even know, my friend. You just don't even know. Okay, let's talk about Loki. We don't have as much time because tech and
reasons.
So let's just dive right in and try to get a full hour of
Loki. I'm putting a warning up front. I'm going to do my best to not be super thirsty throughout this, but I am going to fail. So like, warning, whatever. Listen. Take your kids out of the room. Oh my God.
I think that is a fair trigger warning for those triggered by thirst.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a good thing. Unless it's like triggered in a good way. Then stick around.
If you're triggered in a good way, stick around, but don't at us about it because that's creepy too.
No. You can at me. You can DM me.
Okay. At Matt about it. Don't talk to Ashley about it.
Yeah, it's hard to like focus it all on one. It's gonna be sprinkled throughout, which is why I'm putting this warning. But like,
that's fair.
Loving about this show so much is like the character development we're getting for a loved character that didn't even need that character development for like the entire world to fall in love with him. Like Loki's up there with all the characters who got their own movies and we don't know anything about him.
True.
So getting to like learn everything about him, it's like, Marvel, thank you. I couldn't be happier with what's happening right now.
Never having this perspective show that like gives us a real perspective of Loki, and it's finally happening and it is so good.
Mm-hmm. One of the best things about it that came out of this episode specifically was like, you know, we previously from the other movies, we've known about his relationship with Frigga. And like, we've seen when she died, he got upset. He threw, you know, things around his cell, but he tried to keep it all masked. And then like, whenever he was talking to her, he had kind of like, almost like a petulant, spiteful nature, but you could tell that there was love there, and we never really understood how he truly felt about her until, you know, on the train here when he was talking about Frigga, and just the way that he described her as like a true queen of Asgard, and, you know, just incredibly decent, and like all of these things, like,
you think that's the first time that we saw how he felt about her?
I think that's the first time that we've really gotten his perspective on her.
Like in a narrative source.
Right. In a way where he's just like, I love you, Mom.
Yeah.
Instead of it being like, you know, oh, that's too bad that she's gone.
We had the smashed up room.
You know, when he thinks that nobody's looking, blah, you know.
Yeah. I talked about it last night in Late Night Loki, but I do want to reiterate it because it just like that one, this line meant so much to me. I was talking to my mom this week and it's something that like literally in therapy and in like discussing of my life and kind of like what I value and everything and my own like childhood and raising. One of the things that I value the most that meant a lot to me was my mom just gave us tons of confidence. Even when we're like, she is just, and I see her now with my nieces, her grandchildren. She is just like, you are amazing. You are amazing. Don't let anyone tell you different. And it gives me, even when I have like all the things in the world telling me no and like see that there's problems, like it gives me confidence to this day that like I was raised to have self-love, you know? And there's a line in this episode, excuse me, where Loki says, She says, talking about her magics, and he's like, you think I could learn to do that? Why do you think that? And she's like, cause you can do anything. And you can tell in his voice, like, how important that is to him still. And that's so important to me too.
Yeah.
And like, even when you're like a screw up, like Loki is or me, like that is so valuable to give to a child. And like, he really understands how valuable that was and how much it means to his life right now. And like, that really meant a ton to me. I literally had a conversation with my mom about it like the night before I watched this episode, because my sister passed away this year and she was a failure to launch completely, like, but to her dying day, she was kind of delusional about the things she would accomplish with her life. And like, you could look at that in a sad way, but I kind of gave my mom's props because I was like, you gave her that confidence. Like, she was literally like, never had a day of college, did this, but she still believed. Like, she was like, no, I could be a nurse if I wanted to. Like, if I just apply myself, I could do it, because you gave her that confidence. And like, nah, anyway, so that line meant a ton to me. So sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's important.
It's okay, buddy. It's okay.
It is important.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing that Loki said where he says she's the kind of person that you want to believe in you. And then it sounds like she did, or sounds like she does, was like so touching.
Yeah.
So unbelievably touching.
Mm.
Sorry to make everybody emotional, like right up front.
Yeah, I'm that line makes me so emotional. I can't even express thoughts about it.
Yeah, like, it does bring out these things. Like, all I, you know, have in common from this episode with Loki is I really like the champagne. Like, oof.
Like, no, that's the thing, is like, Loki being the broken toy, you know, being the villain, gives us human beings a chance to look through the eyes of one of these characters in this world and kind of see ourselves reflected. Those of us who, you know, like, aren't a god and we're not a genius, but like, we've all kind of been a fuck up like Loki is. And like,
we've all been a fuck up before.
Yeah. Like, and it's just seeing him and what he values and the childhood he had and all that. It's so good and so meaningful.
Well, I feel like this had a lot of meaningful parts for a lot of people, like, especially, you know, them referencing him being bi, like, that is important to a lot of people. And Sylvie, same thing, like,
and the
amazing.
Fact that it wasn't important at all, you know, to them. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't, not that it was like, important, of course. Rather, but it wasn't a big deal. Right. Where it's just kind of like, well, yeah, I mean, whatever. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Like, it's not this big, like, episode-long thing of like, oh, you f***ed a dude? Like, it's not, it's not worth all that.
Like, and I mean, I know, like, I just love that this show was supposed to not come out now, right? It was supposed to come out earlier, but it just happens to be, like, during Pride Month and everything. And I just, I don't know, it really made me smile. I'm like, good job.
Not just the bi, or the bi aspect of it, or pan, or whatever it is that he is. Loki is also gender fluid, because we've got this seemingly lady Loki out there, but, like, on his paperwork, it says fluid. So, like, there's a lot of representation just in Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for, you know, this month.
Mm-hmm. He represents multitudes.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, it would be nicer, I guess, to split up some representation so that, you know, everybody can see themselves in various characters and kind of, like, spread it out.
Well, they may, and I think this was so great because it wasn't. It didn't beat you over the head with it.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't a big deal. This was not a, like, very special episode of Loki. This was just, like, it's just, I also like men sometimes, and I like women sometimes.
A bit of both.
Yeah,
a bit of both. I'm like, oof.
Yeah, bit of both.
Wow, I love you.
But then also, like,
oh my God.
Turns and says the phrase, like, but never anything real, which gave it, like, an understanding from, like, a lot of people who feel that way and, like, feel like they struggle with connecting.
Yeah.
I liked that whole scene a lot.
That whole scene, like, love is a dagger, and his whole reference, like, I was like, I'm with you until it was sad. But now I'm like, oh, Loki, you don't believe in love. Right. Oh, are you going to find love? Like, oh, please. But is it weird if he loves another version of himself? Like, what do we call that?
It's real weird. It's called narcissism, and I think it's possible.
But
in
they
this
are narcissists. Yeah, it's perfect. It's kind of perfect. They're so perfect like, for each other.
Exactly. Like
they're so cute.
If there's any character in the MCU that's going to do it, it's going to be Loki.
Yeah, no,
and listen,
for sure.
When you've lived that long, something new doesn't come along that often, and this is a new, like,
well, I've never fucked myself before. Well, I mean, I've fucked myself before, but I've never fucked myself before.
Listen, after this episode, I had to bring my jeans out, not just right. Like, he sang. My God, we got knives. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But when he was singing, like, I fell in love with him again. I'm like, Tom Hiddleston, stop yep. doing this to me. My husband is right there. Just like eating like, chocolate, like,
the daggers, and I was like, When he flips the daggers, I was like, I hear that sound. It sounds like a wet Oosh. Fabric hitting the floor.
And he got sound. Drunk. He was, I can't.
Oh, him singing and fighting. Being drunk and having a good time. That was the best. It reminded
scenes,
me so much of Thor. There's even the callback yes. of like, another, and he throws the glass God. Down. So cool.
It's a family thing.
Yeah. Well, it's also just like a cultural thing, and it's the way they celebrate. And we've seen Loki
yeah.
like kind of in revels before with the group, but he's never been the one we're watching like leading revels. You know, like I just, it's so much fun. It's so, yeah. cause yeah. he's never won anything before.
My Aww. Favorite line from that whole thing was, why do you guys think he can't sit backwards on a train? Like, what the hell was that about?
I just thought it was like a...
He can't go backwards on a train.
He feels
it's
nauseous.
It's just a weird thing.
It's like a nausea thing, I think. Or like a... It's like a
God's,
motion sickness.
Gods get nausea?
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I thought was so cute.
It's adorable that he's just... I can't sit backwards on a train.
I mean, if we're going to say the word adorable, can we talk about the tiny fireworks? They
oh, yes.
were so the fantastically twice. Adorable. Like, hilariously adorable. Aww.
Twice tiny fireworks was so good. And like when he accidentally did it, when he was trying to get the tickets, he was like, oops. That was so perfect and hilarious. And in that, like right after that fight scene was going on, the thing that I just cackled at is that he kicks that guy out of the window and he's just like, bye. And then immediately gets grabbed and thrown out of that same window.
I know.
He looks at the guys that grabbed him and he's like, what are you doing?
She was so mad at him.
And then just gets chucked out.
Sylvie was not happy.
It was so funny. Yeah.
Okay. So oh, yeah. given all of this, what do you guys think of Sylvie? What do you think is going on here? I have theories and thoughts, and I don't know. I don't know if we should save it for the end, theorizing, but like... okay.
Just dive in.
Okay. I'm gonna theorize. It, based on some stuff we talked about last night, didn't even think about this at all. This did not cross my mind watching this episode. But last night, Jay Scotty and Brian both brought up the fact that when they were watching this episode... The episode begins with us seeing what Sylvie can do inside someone's head.
Mm-hmm.
Like right. what it looks like when Sylvie is trying to get right. close to someone. And right. when their mind is weak, she can do it quickly. But when their mind is strong, it takes more effort. And she even says, it's like I'm there in their mind, but they're there with me. And I have to control them in different ways.
Like Wanda.
What is the likelihood right. that all of this stuff is happening in Loki's head?
Ooh.
Like this man. Entire train experience, all the stuff on Lumentus is like it matches up perfectly. The entire thing is like her gaining his trust. And if you pay attention, she's constantly asking him questions. He even calls it out. He's like, why am I giving you so much information? You're not giving me any. Like he says that. There's all these little clues that she is like basically pumping him for information while they're on this little journey. And I just imagine that like Loki found her in that aisle or like jumped through that window and then she immediately touched his head and that's where we were this whole episode.
And she was just like, I guess, I don't know either.
Loki jumping
if
through
they
that
do
window,
that, I won't like it.
Do you mean the portal? Do you mean the portal?
I don't know. I'm not sure which one. I'm not sure. That's the other question.
You said when,
if this started, if this is in his head, when would it have started? And that's the real question. Like, I don't know.
Right.
Well, I would assume it would have had to start after the girl on the floor.
Paul Hoppe just said something interesting in the chat that against Loki, she would pretend that she tried it and then it didn't work because he was too strong minded. Mm-hmm. And remember in Age of Ultron, right, when Wanda got Thor and he was like, I'm super better than all of you, or whatever, yeah, he said hilariously.
Luckily, I am mighty.
Yeah. And then he wasn't.
She tried to control mind. Fortunately, I am mighty.
Well, the other thing that makes me think and like go even further back, and like, I don't love this and I kind of love this and I kind of see a lot of like possibilities for it. I'm not saying it's what's happening, but it's like, it seems shaky. So like, a lot of people are pointing out all over online that, again, spoiler alert for theories that are going around, that she might be Enchantress.
Oh, the Enchesto of it all.
Well, Enchesto.
They did say enchantment several times.
Oh, they say it over and over, over and over. She, yeah. That's what she is doing. She is enchanting people. So the idea that she could be Enchantress, let's like take that to its logical conclusion. If Enchantress wanted to enchant Loki and gain his trust, who would she pretend to be in his dream? No one is Loki's friend. So she would pretend to be him.
A version of himself.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, who could gain trust Loki's trust but Loki?
Right.
That like makes it feel really like a possibility that this is not a Loki at all, but someone else who has this ability and is going. But if that's the case, does this go all the way back to the TVA and the fact that the TVA told him it was a Loki? Or was she pretending she was a Loki so that the TVA would tell him that, so that when he arrived, he would believe that and then she could go inside his head? Anyway, it's like, it's stacks on stacks on stacks. I get it. It's convoluted, but it like seems to line up for me, and I'm getting concerned because I'm starting to buy into a theory here.
Right. I would say it's not, based on what we know, based on what we've seen, it's not going to have been at the TVA because his magic doesn't work there.
And her magic didn't work there.
All of the TVA was part of the plan.
Well, it's that right. Just seems that's,
unless all of the TVA is part
and
of it.
I agree.
I'm gonna say hard no.
I don't like that either.
I'll give you both $20 that if would it's be, right.
That would be like, that would be going back to like as soon as he goes through the
like with the Tesseract. The
2012 like with the Tesseract, yeah. Like having the Tesseract,
it would have to go way back. Yes, I agree, and I don't like that, but it also, like, kind of... My best... If it's true, my best guess is that she pretended to be a Loki variant so that the TVA would tell him and make him chase her or whatever, and now she's trying to, like, own a Loki for whatever reason. Or, like, get information from a Loki. But I don't know why she would need information from this Loki either. So
when they showed her see him in the beginning, she didn't look like, you would think if it was something immediately she could thought she could control, she would have looked like sly or smiled about it. But when she saw him, she looked like worried or upset when she saw him on the monitors coming in to that, whatever Walmart.
I thought she just looked like it's time to go. Like
Roxcart.
No, I thought she looked a little upset.
Yeah, I thought she looked annoyed. I thought she looked annoyed that, like, ugh.
Like, I was trying to get information from this.
I gotta get out of here again.
Well, that's the thing is, she's sitting there with prying information out of the brain of this girl, and then she gets interrupted, and then she goes through a door, and then Loki follows her through that door. It would make sense if the next thing she did was like, okay, well, I caught another one. Let me get information from this guy. And, like, I don't know. But that doesn't explain why the TVA would think she's a Loki unless this was all part of her long-term plan. Anyway.
And she did all that stuff at the TVA, not in front of Loki. Like,
right. And their magic doesn't work.
And
the
she
TVA.
Looked really surprised so, yeah, that her did, magic didn't work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that wasn't in front of Loki. So, like, that's why true. Do that spectacle for nobody?
That's true. I agreed. I don't think the TVA is fake. I really don't. But
I think some of it's fake, but not the parts that we're talking about.
I think the timekeepers are wrong. Like, clearly, we found out this episode.
Yeah, they're all getting men
Sylvie.
In black. We nailed it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I nailed that.
They're
so
all variants.
Hard. I nailed it based on the girl on the floor saying, it's real. It's real. I was like, what's real? And then
see
I called
how Jeff
that
and I said we and Matt says I.
It that part was me. I'm sorry.
You're rude.
The Men in Black joke a couple weeks ago.
I added the Men in Black joke to it. So, you know. I'm just teasing. No, it was a group effort, but like that girl on the floor immediately made me think that they had lives before and that this lady Loki had shown her that. And that's what I brought up last week. And
yeah,
sure enough, that was exactly what had happened. And I was like, I felt so vindicated.
Yep.
Like dashboard confessional.
Yep. And man, that, you know, that makes it a bit of a slippery slope because now knowing that part was a lie, we can't trust anything that was said. We can't trust Miss Minutes. We cannot trust a single thing that has been said about the TVA. I don't even know that the timekeepers are multiple people.
No, I don't either.
What if it's just Kang?
I hope
they all kind of look like Kang.
Or a Loki variant. Or three Kangs, for that matter.
Three Kangs.
Council of Kangs, yeah.
There's like little panels from comics where there's just hundreds and hundreds of Kangs, like living at a city, similar to the TVA, honestly, in the quantum realm. So like, this seems to track. I don't know. And I think what we're leading to, which I think we've discussed, is they're going to realize the timekeepers are bad. They lied to the TVA. Loki is going to lead like a rebellion on the timekeepers with the TVA's help. And then next season, we get a TVA with a different mission statement.
Yeah, I could see that.
Maybe even like to prevent anyone from doing what the timekeepers did. Like prevent anyone from being like an all-knowing, omniscient, powerful being that controls all the multiverse into one timeline or whatever.
Can we talk about Loki's powers? Because I feel like he used some I've never seen before.
Sure. Like what?
He stopped that thing from falling on them. Like if you had the ability to do that, to set off such a power like surge that would stop that building from falling, why the fuck aren't you using that all the time?
I think he's used... Like he's used that concussion explosion before, like he did it early in the episode, but he also did it in that room when he would like threw all the furniture around in his cell.
Yeah, but that's not stopping an entire building from falling. I've just never seen him use that kind of, you would think like in the Battle of New York or against the Hulk or somewhere where it was like important, like when he was just as stressed out, he'd be able to use that or would have used it, but he just never did.
Yeah,
it's very strange.
I think there's something to be said for like self-preservation and your powers, kind of that like a mom that can lift the bus when their kids are trapped or whatever. Like that moment of panic when you've like got the building falling on you, maybe your powers are a little stronger. But yeah, I agree.
We've seen him in those positions though, like Thanos, like all of these.
Sure,
like,
that's true.
Yeah, we've seen it.
That's true.
It's weird. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, a more powerful Loki doesn't bother me at all.
Super hot, so who cares? I was like, yeah, move that building.
It's very, very Neo in the Matrix, like, stopping
the building. I loved everything he did in this episode. Drunken Master, like, doing the Drunken Master fighting, like, I loved it.
So the thing that I focused on when he did that telekinesis with the building was the fact that was all in a big-ass oner.
Right.
That was a gigantic, like, over 3 minutes oner. And, like, there were some clever spots where they could have cut, and they probably did.
I'm sure.
In between there. But, like,
it was so
immersive. Mm-hmm. It was so phenomenally done. And, like, I felt like that they actually built that city, you know? Like, they had actually constructed this city.
Yeah.
And, like, on first watch, I was like, when did we get into the gang scene of Batman and Robin?
Oh, God. Don't even invoke that movie. My God. How dare you, sir?
Don't invoke those names.
I'm sorry.
The Clooney of it
that
all.
Was my first
How dare
thought.
You?
Because it was ridiculous. But then, like, I started to notice, like, no, this is really fluid. And it felt, you know, it felt very much... Daredevil season 3 in the prison, and like that was some incredible shit, and this was no different. Like this was that scaled up. Like it wasn't as long in duration, but like there was so much more going on. There was so much more
budget must be out of this world,
right? Oh my God. Ugh. Yeah, the amount of VFX in that shot was nuts.
I felt like the first half of this episode to me felt very low budget, actually. Just the first bit, like, it felt like a, and I'm probably wrong, but like the effects and just sort of walking around that planet and the backgrounds sort of felt like any other Doctor Who episode. We talked about it last night. Like, this episode is super Doctor Who-ish. But like a lot of the backgrounds, it just kind of looked like they turned the desert purple or whatever. And just kind of like a lot of little color grading.
Yeah.
But then like that last scene just was absolutely amazing. Like, especially on a second watch, the sets, like what is a set and what is a green screen and what is, like, what are they, what is real and what is not? I can't tell. And he's like running in and out of buildings and the camera's going over their head and around them. At one point, Loki gets thrown really far and then comes back and like, just, it's crazy. Like an explosion rocks him and throws him across. Good. Like, it's just nuts.
Yeah. All the extras and the costumes were really good. Like that, there was a lot of people in this episode. They had all the rich people getting on the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Very it Titanic. Looked like,
all the poor people, all the poor people that were in line. It's like, how much purple fabric did the costume department
and
just
blue.
Have to go to Joanne's to get? Like, give me all of your purple.
Yeah, give us your purples and your blue.
We need all of it.
Because I don't know anyone else who could make that like sack of a almost onesie look as hot as Tom Hiddleston did. Like, good God. What a dumb outfit. You're still hot.
Those helmets were so stupid.
It reminded me of Judge Dredd. Yeah. Like, I was like, what is this?
Right. Like, what kind of armor does a fucking turtleneck give you?
It was
you?
A sweater.
Like, come on.
They had damn Abercrombie sweaters on. Like, what the
Jay Scotty in the chat says, it's a cardigan, but thanks.
Cardigans are open in the front. Oh, no. It's a quote.
Yeah.
Okay, so do we have anybody in the chat yet that we need to, like, address?
Yeah, man, I have so many. I'm going to try to start at the beginning.
Okay, yeah, throw them out when you see them.
And I'm going to try to read.
Yeah, I like it.
Let me make my font bigger.
Do that sweet, sweet reading.
You know I love it when you use that big old brain.
Oh, it's not that big.
It's not the size of the brain. It's the motion of the... Never mind.
It's the motion of the notion. Get it? Notion.
Ah, yeah, that was nice. That was good.
Our Freeze says, I think when Loki said, but they don't know that, when Lady Loki said the agents were all variants, I think that is because Loki cares about Mobius and their time together. Little signs that Loki is getting to the point where he got to at the end of the Infinity Saga.
Hmm.
That's cute.
He did care about people twice in this that seemed very uncharacteristic. That one at the end, he's like, all these people are going to die. I was like, why do you care?
Yeah, why do you give a shit?
He does that with all the people, and then he also, he goes out of his way to work with her instead of against her at one point. It seemed sort of like, we could be friends, and it sort of just felt a little like a hero would do. But then I also am wondering, like, how much is he using her? And how, even with the TVA line that they bring up, like... How much is he going, oh, I see that I can drive a wedge between the TVA and their precious timekeepers. Maybe I can take control. You know what I mean? There's still a possibility. Yeah. And I kind of want that from this Loki for continuity's sake. But I also want him to get through some of that character development that he got in two. And I think the way they broke him down in the first episode did get him to a better place, even if it wasn't where he was before.
It was weird hearing him be like, well, I just want to know I can trust you. I'm like, that doesn't sound like my Loki. Like, this is strange. But character development.
Not my Loki.
That trust line, I don't buy. And that's one of the reasons that makes me think she's in his head. Because, like, it felt like they led it to that
whenever
point.
They were-
and then she, like, reached out for his hand. Or, like, they reached hands. Like, she says, I just need to know if I can trust you. And he's like, do we trust each other, she says. And
when they were walking into the city into where the Ark was, she said, do we trust each other? We do. And you can. It's weird. It's a weird line.
It's a weird line.
Sexual tension.
It just feels like false to me. It doesn't feel real, and I don't know if that's on purpose or if they're truncating character development between the two, or like relationship development between the two of them.
Yeah, I hope it's the latter. Yeah. Dr. Kyle Berkeley, pretty much his was just what we just said about the episode was a delusion and the whole you can trust me thing. So we just covered that and I didn't even realize it. So there you go, Dr.
Good job, everybody.
High fives all around.
The three of us got to the same idea as a doctor.
Ha. Yeah. Do I get a PhD now?
No, you get a third of a PhD.
Yes. Something.
That's enough. I think that's a bachelor's, right?
Yeah, at least.
Waterfall Angel says, I've been thinking since last episode that when Loki bent down to check on B-15, he took something off of her because you can barely even see her body or what his hands are doing in the shot. Ooh, I know what his hands are doing. You know, like tempad?
Ooh.
What's a tempad? Like a tempad.
Yeah, the time... device.
That's what the time he was using to get around.
The low battery eye touch?
Yeah. What if?
Yeah,
what
the
if
low battery has, eye touch.
What if he has a second tempad and he's using all of this to like get to know her and figure out what she's about? And then right before the planet gets destroyed, he whips out his other tempad. It's like, oh, I could have gotten us off at any time. I just needed to know who you were.
He could have gotten us off at any time.
Like he was asking her questions too. Do you think she was lying? Oh, I don't want her to be lying because I loved the scene of them at the table. Like he was super intrigued by everything. He was like bewildered. It was cute.
I really like everything that happens between them and I don't really want it all to be a lie, but I also can't help but see that it kind of feels that way. So I don't know.
CJ Hunt says, is Lady Loki a variant because she's a lady? I got that sense when she said she's been running from the TVA all her life.
I think that's at least part of it.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's historical accounts of Loki changing, not just gender, but also, I'm talking about like Norse mythology, like not just gender, but also species. Like whenever he had to distract a horse, so he turned into a female horse and then had that male horse's babies. And one of them was, I think that turned into Odin's steed, Sleipnir.
Good name. Waterfall Angel just said something really interesting in the chat. She said it's weird that she would go to sleep in the crowded train. I forgot about that completely.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, I mean, especially after her saying, I can't go to sleep around somebody I can't trust.
Yeah, and then she does. Yeah, it's all weird. Sylvie's actions don't fully line up, you know?
How big was that moon that it took long enough for her to fall asleep on the train to get to the other city and then get thrown off and they still weren't there?
Yeah, it was odd.
Moons can be pretty big. I mean,
yeah, but it...
moons. How big are the moons on Uranus?
I don't know.
They're small, right? That was my best try at a dad joke. Happy Father's Day.
Thanks. I mean, if we're going for physics, then a planet about to crash into a moon would have, like, its gravitational pull would have pulled the atmosphere off of the moon before it even got there, so they would be suffocating.
Right. Depends on how close it was and everything. Now, there's a lot of X factors there.
Yeah. Plowing forward.
Either way.
Catherine Ray says, the stunt work and choreography in this episode were incredible, and also that super long shot at the end. So good. Yes, girl.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. God, the one.
Just getting to see Loki use his powers, like the flashes of green, I was like, give it to me.
Yeah, the flashes of green definitely raised my blood pressure a little bit.
It was amazing. Okay, Linda Getz says, can you explain who Enchantress is and whether we care that they seem to be mixing her and Lady Loki into one character, feeling a bit lost?
Mm.
Wasn't she one of Thor's girlfriends?
Yeah, it was like she wanted to get with him and he didn't really want to.
He sifted her?
Oh. Constantly. Yeah.
That was a good dad joke.
Can't stop, won't stop.
She doesn't really have much other than, like, she takes over the minds of other people, and one of her constant thralls is Scourge, the executioner. Aww. But he's gone at this point. So,
boop, boop,
And I mean, when Lady Loki showed up in comics, it was because Loki's soul possessed the body that was meant for reincarnating Sif. Mm-hmm. And so Sif didn't get to reincarnate into that body. It was Loki that was in that one. And like that pissed everybody off. And then there was more weird comic shenanigans. So like, I don't know. I don't know. This might be, this seems like a better way to do it. A better way to bring about Lady Loki. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess, you know, if you've already thrown away Scourge on Hela and kind of made her into a form of Enchantress,
right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we haven't seen Sif in a while. Like, it, I guess it makes sense to kind of lump the rest of Enchantress up into this character.
Hmm. Yeah.
Or it's just Enchantress and there is no Lady Loki. It's just a trick, which is possible. Or it's a trick.
It's fun.
Yeah. Or it could be like, not each, maybe she doesn't know she's not a variant Loki. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe she thinks she's a variant Loki and it turns out she's actually a different person with a different power set, you know?
It'd be weird that the TVA wouldn't have been able to figure that out.
I agree. It's hard to know exactly what the TVA knows and doesn't know, though.
Yeah. Haley Hobbs is our last one. Hello. And she says, most relatable moment, Sylvie stopping to put her hair up before kicking butt in the TVA. Yes, girl. When she put her little half bun up and it's like, it's time to go. Let's kick some ass. I loved every second of that. When she jumped off the wall. Ah, girl crush.
Oh my God, yes.
Her.
Jumping off the wall was so freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
That choreography was amazing.
Yeah, I liked her fighting style a lot. Like, it was just, she's a little stronger than a human, so, like, a lot of her, like, motions just are more fluid and more, like, I don't know, more forceful, even though the motions might be smaller. Yeah, she's a bit of a brawler.
She get in there.
I liked it a lot. Really cool stuff.
She got in there and mixed up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I love when drunk Loki threw his knife. And even though it didn't help, she later banged that guy's face off it.
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah. When the dagger is sitting in there in the door frame was just like ooh, whoop. That must have hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Okay. So if anybody else has anything that you want to say, feel free to send it in. We'll probably keep chatting for a few more minutes.
Speak now or forever hold your peace until the next episode.
Until the next live chat. Another thing that sort of like makes me feel that maybe this Enchantress idea is possible. They ruined both their exit strategies. Like the Tempad is gone and then now the ship is gone and they can't create variants cause they're in the middle of an apocalypse. So like they can't even rely on the TVA to show up. So like all of these things, like there's no way to get out of this situation. Mm-hmm. And I could totally see them sitting on those two boulders across from each other next episode that we saw in the trailers, and they're like waiting on the world to end, and then Enchantress gets the information she needs from Loki, and then she like wakes him up, you know?
What if it's Owen Wilson who knows that that's where they'd be hiding? He told him that they'd be hiding at like end of the world things.
That's true. That's true. They could have been looking.
Yeah, she's hiding in apocalypses.
Maybe there's a way they can send a message or something, create enough variants to send a message to the TVA. That's a possibility, but they'd have to get it off the moon.
Yeah.
Well, there's also the fact that the sacred timeline has just been bombed. Mm. So they're probably having to deal with that.
That's the thing that frustrated me the most about this episode.
Yeah, we didn't get any kind of resolution to that or any kind of progression of that event.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was frustrated.
Kind of ridiculous. Like, it was a really big deal, and then they're just like, yeah, we don't care.
Huge cliffhanger, and then
let's go do something else.
We'll be on this planet for an episode. And we've only got six episodes, so when are we going to find out?
There's three more episodes. Yeah. There's three more episodes, and at least the next one is going to be on this planet as well. And there's, I remember from the trailers, there was that shot that Ashley got so hot and bothered over, where he had his sleeves rolled up and that tight fitting shirt on when all the wind was happening, and like it looked like an apocalypse. And
yep.
it very much looks like what he's wearing now in, you know, world ending situation. Like, at least that is going to happen. Is that going to happen this episode? This next one?
Oh, can't trust trailers.
Is it an episode 5 thing? Or are they going to stay here for a long
time? Can't trust trailers.
I mean, you know, all of that could be the first 15 minutes of the next episode. Then we get back to the main storyline.
I need the next episodes to be like 2 hours each.
Right.
Yeah. This one was a lot shorter.
Yeah.
When it was over, I was like, no! Ken's like, I hate TV. Why do we do this? Why can't we just watch them all at once?
Get it to me, Marvel. I know you've got it.
I know you have it.
Oh, yeah. Man.
You know a show's good when you're, like, physically affected when it just shuts off. You're like, oh!
Physically upset. My stomach hurts. My stomach hurts because I can't watch the next three right this damn second.
Now, I need to know where Abby. Waterfall Angel says, if the series doesn't end with Mobius getting a jet ski and a cute note from Loki after he's escaped, then I'm going Thanos on the universe.
Yeah. Get that snap finger ready, buddy.
It was really good.
Oh, man. I'm so pumped for
the
next episode still. And, like, I do feel like this one was a bit of a departure, and I wanted more from the main timeline. Like, I really want to know what's going on with this bombing of the timeline, but I still was very happy with everything that went down. They could have given me 10 more minutes, and, like, showed me what was going on.
Could have interspersed those events.
Or start the episode with, like, we don't know where they are, sir. And, like, they're, like, screaming at what's happening on the timeline and then jump over and have this exact episode play out, you know? But we get a little taste of what's going on at the TVA. They even, they teased it so hard, the like, intro of the episode was all what's happening at the TVA and, like, the bombing of the timeline and all this stuff. And then it jumps to this, Lamentus.
Well, it is interesting that we got to finally see the gold elevators, and the fact that, like, immediately, I can't remember Mobius's booty call's name. What's that girl's name? You can tell they definitely have a past.
Ravonna
Renslayer.
Ravonna Renslayer.
Yeah, that they were there immediately. So what's up those elevators? Ooh.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's the timekeepers, right?
Like, I mean, maybe.
She says how many people are guarding the timekeepers, and then she heads for the
Kang.
Something about golden doors.
I don't know. I bet they get up there and it's just like nothing.
How do I find the elevators?
It's just that little cat.
How do I find the elevators? They're gold.
That's it. That was it.
It's just a little cat in a white room, that cat from the first episode typing on something. Joke's on you.
Joke's on you.
The world is run by a meme cat.
Of course they're not there.
They go up the elevator. Elevator doors open at the top in the penthouse, and it's just Mephisto behind a desk.
Mephisto confirmed.
Sure, guys. Yep. Sure. All right, we met our Mephisto quota. I guess we're done.
Meowfisto.
Yes.
I feel like we've had
cat is Mephisto.
I feel like we've had so many Mephisto jokes that I think we've done that pun before.
Probably. Was there a cat in WandaVision?
I don't remember.
Stork Fisto was a thing.
Yeah, I remember Stork Fisto, or
he even Mephisto yelled
Stork.
It. Mephisto Stork, and he said it, and everybody heard it.
Mephisto,
Mephisto. I will go to my grave. I heard it.
I did not. There were three syllables.
Melissa did.
He honked three syllables. I get that, but.
Yep. And those syllables could only be
to the grave.
Mephisto.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we're all done for this episode. We'll be back.
Let's wrap it up.
So good.
We'll be back soon. Guys, if you get a chance, it would be incredibly helpful to the show if you would go and give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, or give us a thumbs up or a follow on Spotify, whatever you got. We're on the verge of being one of the top things in search for Loki and these other Marvel shows, and it's super rad, and that's all thanks to you guys, and we just really appreciate it. But if you have not had a chance to do that yet, please go. Like, you guys being such an amazing group of listeners has allowed us to, like, have a megaphone for our show to reach out much further than we deserve, or that I thought possible for two guys in Alabama starting a podcast. it just makes me very happy. And then our lovely producer up there in Philly, it just makes me incredibly happy and thankful that we've gotten to grow this much and been able, like, we're like number 8 on the after show charts right now.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is insane. I cannot
believe it. All time, but after show charts, it's nuts.
Yeah, all time after shows, we are number 8 right now. So if a bunch of people went over there and gave us reviews, like, I don't know how high we could get, but it would be amazing if we could creep up yeah, even higher. I just, like, I can't believe we're up that high. So thank you guys so much for that. And we'll be back next week with more things to do.
Monday.
Something you wanted to plug, Ashley?
I don't want to plug, but I just want to let everybody know, because I've seen a couple questions on the Facebook chat. Feedback for this episode that we're going to do on Monday's cast. Usually, I'll start collecting feedback on Thursday and try to get it all by Sunday night. Monday morning, maybe, but think like a, you know, we got to get them all ready. And definitely send it to mcucast@gmail.com. Not the Facebook chat, because there is just 1,000 people in there, like, not exaggerating, 1,000, and your stuff will just get lost.
The Facebook chat, which you can find a link to in the show notes, is not really for sending feedback to the show. It's more for, like, everybody, all of you guys getting to interact with your own, with the feedback. And that's more for, like, you finding the community to interact with, which is more fun, honestly. Mm-hmm. But if you want us to have something on the show, hit us up at mcucast@gmail.com. And if you want to just chat about stuff, because we can't talk about everybody's feedback, especially during these shows, there's just way too much. But you can hit us, you can just head over to the chat and, get your thoughts, air your thoughts. We do a nesting period for 48 hours after anything comes out, by the way, which is like where you put a bunch of dashes above your post so that you put spoilers down. So people have to hit see more to see your spoilers. But after 48 hours, it's just wide open.
So get your feedback for this Monday's episode in by Sunday.
Yeah. It's facebook.com/group/SP chat. That's the strand, or just search for the Stranded Panda chat. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.